Okay, good morning, everyone. Do we hear me? Thumbs up if you hear me. Perfect. Second question. Do we have the sort of Makoro sheet I sent out? Thumbs up if you do. Okay, perfect. So we're starting off on a great, on the right foot today. This is going well. So today, Meretz Hashem will be the first in what I think will end up being a three-part series, which starts with the question of Nitkal Poshea, which seems like a pretty simple question, but we'll see it's very complicated. And that is, do we see someone who stumbles on the floor as careless or not? As someone who stumbles pretty frequently, this is a very, a personal sugya for me, so I'm very excited about it. But that's the question. In various contexts in halacha, if someone stumbles, causes damage to their property, to someone else's property, to another person, do we see them as careless or not? And that will end up transitioning into a discussion generally, and maybe a discussion that really is sort of a question that we haven't really addressed this year, but relates to everything we've done this year, which is fundamentally when a person causes damage to another in accidentally without intentionally doing so, are they liable or not? We've been learning all year about business transactions and employees and shomrim and things like that. But just generally, what if I accidentally inconvenience someone or damage them? Should you be liable for such a thing? So we're going to start with our sugya. Today we're going to mostly cover the Gemara and Bava Metzia, Pei Beis and Mebeis, as it relates to someone who carries an object for someone else. And we'll move from there. Just to sort of start the conversation and maybe even do a bit of chazara, if I were to ask you, if you hired a worker to carry cargo for you, a porter, let's say, and they drop the cargo, say it's even expensive, and they break it, would you demand that they pay for that cargo or would you not? Okay, so Natal is just saying, okay. All right, Trishiner is smiling because we did.
No, I said you better would.
Yeah, I know you said. we discussed the last few weeks this question in terms of Lifnim Mishuras Hadin. That we sort of jumped to the end of the Gemara. The Gemara says, well, regardless of what the halacha actually dictates in such a case, but Lifnim Mishuras Hadin, in certain cases, go beyond the letter of the law, don't make the porter pay. Maybe even pay them. So today we're going to focus on the Shuras Hadin, the actual letter of the law. Are they liable or not? So that's the. So we'll get to the Gemara here. If you do have a Gemara on you, it happens to be that we're going to do a lot of Gemara inside today, so that's always helpful. But it's source number one here from the Gemara on Bav Metzia, Pei Beis and Mebeis. So the Mishnah says as follows: Hamaver Chavis Mimakom Lemakom Vishavra. Or Ushivara, if a person is carrying a barrel from one place to another and they break it. So, Bein Shomer Chinam, Bein Shomer Sachar Yishava. The Tanakama in the Mishnah says whether they are being paid for their services or they are not, they are a free watchman, a watchman for no pay, or a watchman for pay, they take a shvua, they take an oath. We'll have to see what exactly that oath is. And then they don't have to pay for the loss of that barrel. So just a bit of background, once we, just generally, to the idea of shomrim. So it's important to note that there's a difference in halacha, as mentioned many times this year, between a paid watchman and someone who watches another's object for no pay. To point out two differences right now, a shomer chinam, really one difference. Someone who watches for free without any pay is generally not liable for something that happens to that object. As long as they weren't negligent, as long as they weren't careless, they didn't do something that was, certainly didn't meet their expectations. They did something that made the object susceptible to some sort of damage. If they didn't do that, if they did a decent job watching the object, the Shomer Chinam will not have to pay for the loss of that object. The Torah does say, though, that in such a case, the Shomer Chinam takes a shvua. And the shvua that the Shomer Chinam takes is they have to swear that they weren't negligent. That's the law generally with the Shomer Chinam. A paid watchman is different. A paid watchman is liable for what we call geneva va'aveda, if the object is lost or stolen. We have a higher expectation for the job someone who is paid to watch an object has to do. And a Shomer Chinam will only be, according to Torah law, Shomer Chinam will only not be liable for damage caused to the object if it is an ones, right? We talked about this earlier. We did Tchas Rosh Yevus of ones. If it's some sort of extenuating circumstance that the Shomer Sachar did the best job they could, they did a proper Shmira, and yet the object still was destroyed, that's the only case the Shomer Sachar usually gets out of paying. But generally, they have to pay. So going back to this first line over here, it's a bit striking. We're talking about a maver chavis imakom amakom. You're handling a barrel. A person drops the barrel. The Mishnah says, even a shomer sachar, even a paid watchman, who simply broke the barrel, that's all we know at this point, is not liable to pay for that barrel. They just have to swear. That is the opinion of the Tanakhama in our Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, zev ze yishava. Rabbi Eliezer says, I also heard that, yes, you're right, I agree, a shomer chinam and shomer sachar will take a shvua if they drop this barrel. Nevertheless, says Rabbi Eliezer, that's what I heard, but I don't understand. I don't get this. Why is this the case? I don't understand why this should be that both a Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar will take a Shvua when they drop the barrel. Okay, so that is what we have in this Mishnah. Now, taking a step back for a second, so we have three options in terms of defining how, what is the level of culpability for slipping and dropping an object? That's what we're talking about. We could either say that someone who slips and drops an object has been negligent. That would be one option. In which case, anybody who drops an object should be liable for the damage to that object. The flip side is we can say that when you slip, it's totally not your fault. It just sort of happens, but that's not you. And therefore, the halacha should have been that's an onis, and therefore you shouldn't have been liable, whether you are a shomer sachar or you're a shomer chinam. And the middle category is that it's neither shia, it's not negligence or carelessness, it's not onis, it's not extenuating circumstance that's totally out of your hands. It's a middle category. It's ke'en geneva va'aveda. It's like robbing. It's like as if the object got stolen or lost. Where although we won't say that you were negligent, you possibly could have prevented such an occurrence, and you didn't, and therefore a shomer sachar will be liable, and a shomer chinam will not. So, given that those are the options, what do you think is the opinion of the Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer and our Mishnah? Right? The Tanakhama says both a shomer chinam and shomer sachar will take a shvua, and none of them have to pay. Neither of them are liable. Rabbi Eliezer says, you're right, but I don't get it. So let's stick to the Tanakhama. What does the Tanakhama think is the status of someone who stumbles and falls and drops his barrel? Has he been negligent? Have they been, the subject of a horrific, uncontrollable circumstance? Or are they somewhere simply in the middle? Thoughts? Okay, you take a shvua, right? That's a good point. But the very fact that a shomer sachar takes a shvua should tell you something, right? Meaning, generally, a shomer sachar doesn't have that option. We don't say, well, I swear it's not your fault. Generally, as we're about to see, a shomer sachar has to pay. So the Gemara will actually elaborate on this. Let's take a look further in the sources. I have where it says Gemara, the second line of source number one, Tana Rabbanan. Tana Rabbanan, the rabbi said, Hamavar chavis lachaver imakom lamakom mishavaras. The case of our Mishnah, a porter is carrying a barrel from point A to point B, and they break the barrel. So now I sort of outlined it for you. We have three different opinions. An additional opinion appears in the Gemara that was not in the Mishnah. So bein shomer chinam, bein shomer sachar yishava. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Meir says you take a shvua, you don't have to pay, right? And this would mean that, let's say, going to Rabbi Tarchir's shir for the last 3 weeks, we wouldn't have to talk about lifting the Mishuras Hadin in terms of, not making your porters pay. They don't have to pay. That's what Rabbi Meir says. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shomer Chinam Yishavan, Nosei Sachar Yishalim. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it depends on the type of watchman you are. If you get paid to do this service and carry the object, so then you have to pay. You don't have the option of swearing. If you are a Shomer Chinam, then you take a Shvuah. Rabbi Lezer Omer Zev Zev Yishava. Okay, Rabbi Lezer says that this, both of them take a Shvuah. But to me, again, I don't get it. I have that tradition also. I don't understand why. Okay. So they have these three opinions. Now, in terms of how culpable someone who stumbles is, these three opinions are probably arguing about that. Now, at first glance, it would seem, you know, and I find this troubling. I wonder if you do, that Rabbi Meir is saying that someone who stumbles, right? You hire me to carry your object, right? I stumble while I'm carrying it. I break it. It's not simply that I wasn't careless. It was an onus. It's not my fault. This cannot be blamed on me. This was sort of out of my control. You cannot hold me liable for stumbling. That's what Rabbi Meir is saying. I find that quite striking. Comforting, you know. I feel a little better about myself. But why? Like, it's hard to understand why that should be. But that would be Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Huda sounds like no. It's not. We won't say that someone who stumbles is negligent, but we can't say it's an ones. So it depends whether you're a shomer sachar or a shomer chinam. So that would be our three opinions. However, the Gemara is troubled by the opinion of Rabbi Meir, and that's if you look at the memra here where I stop the indentation. And it references a case in Bava Kamma. So before we look at that, let's take a look at source number two. Now, so this idea of nikah poshe or not, whether someone who stumbles is considered negligent, has many applications in halacha. So right now we're talking about someone who's carrying a barrel from point A to point B. That's case number one. But that doesn't have to be the case. There are many applications of whether or not stumbling is considered carelessness. The Gemara in Bava Kamma is simply discussing the case of someone who is not hired to do anything, but rather drops an object and damages someone in the process by dropping that object. So say, for instance, say I am carrying a bunch of svarim in the street. I trip, I drop the svarim, and they land on your foot. Right? So do I have to pay for the damage to your toe? Like that's a totally different case. But it also relates to this question. And the Gemara's problem in source number two, the Gemara's problem is that Rav Meir seems to be inconsistent. So let's look at source number two for a second, then we'll get back to our original Gemara. So, says the Mishnah in Bava Kamma, in source number two. Nishbura kadu b'risha sarabim v'hochlach echa b'mayim mushalaka b'charsis chayiv. So the case is someone's holding a jug in the public domain, and it breaks. And then someone slips in water, or they get hit by the shards of that kad, of that jug. So someone gets damaged because you dropped a jug in Rishus Harabim. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'mischavein chayiv be'eno mischavein pater. Sorry, chayiv, rather. The Tanna Kamma says, you're liable for that. You dropped the kad, not bad day for you. Number one, you lost your jug of oil. And that's rough. But not only that, you're also liable for the damage your jug of oil caused to the person who you dropped it on. So you're liable. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'mischavein chayiv. If you had intention, and we'll see what you had intention to do, then you're liable. V'eino mischavein pater. If you did not have intention, then you are pater. You don't have to pay for the damage you caused by dropping this object. So now we have the Gemara later in Bava Kamma on Chatesa Manala discusses this machlokas. And the Gemara asks, and this is the second line in source number two, Hei chidabi miskavin. What do we mean when we say that you intended? What intention did the person who dropped this jug have? Amaraba b'miskavin lehorido lemata mitefo. What happened was you had the jug or whatever it was you were carrying on your shoulder. You meant to lower it from your shoulder, and in the process of lowering it from your shoulder, you dropped it. That's what mischavin means. And that's the case here. So you didn't intend to drop it. We're not talking about someone who's destructive and like is in a bad mood and, let's say, out of rage, throws the jug on the floor. No, you didn't mean to drop it. You meant to simply lower it from the floor. But that's enough of an intention. That is enough to make you liable for dropping it. That's Rabbi Yehuda's position according to Rabba. So then Amar Le Abaye, Michlal Mechayev Rabbi Meir, Afilu Nivshara. So then Abaye says that's a problem. Because Rabbi Meir argues on Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that you have to at least have the intention of lowering it. But that would mean Rabbi Meir, who's Mechayev, even Be'enu Mechavin, says even if you're simply holding the barrel and you do nothing wrong, it was on your shoulder, and then all of a sudden it melts, or it gets slippery, and it just falls off your shoulder, and you didn't do anything, but it just falls off your shoulder, you're still liable. So really? Abaye says, could that be? Amar Le, ein Mechayev HaRabbi Meir Afilu Azina Biyado. Yeah, says Rabbi, yeah, you know what? Even if you have a handle, and you're carrying, let's say, some sort of box in the Rishus HaRabin, and literally the box breaks while you're walking it, and you're left with only the handle in your hand, and the box drops on the floor and hurts someone, and injures someone, you're still liable, according to Remeir. It doesn't matter whether you did anything wrong or not. Remeir is going to say you're liable for every single case. That's what Rabba says. So now the Gemara has an objection. Sorry, yes, Jeffrey. Yes. A 100%. Yes. Yes. And that is the Gemara's question. And keep this in mind because this will... Yes, sorry?
Could there be a fourth category, though?
Of? So the answer is short. To make short is yes, there is a difference, and we'll have to get to that. Again, what you're you're making a good point. What you're discussing there is direct damage, where you're damaging someone else through driving a car. This is also damages. I'll just point out it's damages by dropping a barrel when you didn't intend to drop the barrel. Whereas even if you were driving a car, you intended to be driving the car and your brakes went out on you. So those all might be different cases. But it is definitely might be different. And in fact, the Gemara questions this statement, and it's something to keep in mind. So the Gemara says, if you look at the bold here, Amai, onesu, v'ones rachmana patra. Says the Gemara, it can't be. It cannot be that Rabbi Meir thinks that if you're holding your suitcase in the middle of the Rishus HaRabim, and then all of a sudden the handle of the suitcase breaks in some sort of freak accident, and the suitcase falls and damages someone, or the contents damage someone. You cannot be liable for that. Why? Because we have a rule, ones rachmana patre. Ones rachmana patre means when it was out of your control, you're not liable. And diksiv ilanara lo sa'ase davar, right? This is the classical case for the general idea that ones rachmana patre, that is the case of a young woman who is sort of... raped in the forest. That's the way the Gemara, the Torah talks about it. She's not liable for, you know, what would happen because it was not her fault. It was out of her control. And the Gemara is saying here, no way, Remeir actually says you can be liable for such a thing because that's out of your control. Okay, so keep that in mind. We'll get back to that hopefully by the end of this year. But that's the Gemara says, Avala, so we say, V'chite ma'hani mili niktala, and that's Gemara, maybe you'll tell me that if you do an avera, some sort of sin which is generally liable for the death penalty, but you didn't mean to, and not only didn't you mean to, it was out of your control, that's when we'll say you don't get punished. Aval le'inyan izakin, but for damages, right? Damages is not necessarily, and keeping in mind, damages are not only punitive, damages are there to compensate the loss of another person. So you'll say, I get it that we're not going to give you the death penalty. In the case of the Nara, who is raped, but to say you're not liable just because you didn't mean to, maybe we won't say that. So it's not true. Chayav Tanya. Now the Gemara quotes a Braisa, which our Gemara Bava Metzia quotes.
It's not true. Why? It says Nishbra Kaile Velo Silko is another case. If your barrel, if your jug breaks and you didn't remove it in the street. So you drop the barrel breaks in the middle of the street and you leave it there. Nafal Gamalo Velo Hemido, or your camel falls down and you do not stand it up. Remeir Mechaya Bezekon, Vachachom Omrim Pachamin Dini Adam, Vachaya Bedini Shemayim. Remeir says you're Chayev in Mazik, you're Chayev for the damage caused by that circumstance. Chacham say no. You are a potter in the court of man, and you are chayiv in Shemayim. Interesting statement, but that's actually not the focus of this gemara. It says in Mordim Chacham LeRemeir, Ba'an Misakino Maso Sheniuchem Brosh Gago V'Nafle Bruam Tziv Eziko. The Chacham in Mitzri Remeir, and this has to do with Eish. This is not really our topic for now. If you leave a stone or a knife or your package on top of a roof, and then it falls in a common wind and damages someone, you are chayiv. And this is the point. Umodur Meir Larabonum Bamale Kankanan al Hagag Amanasa Naglan Vanuafla Barusha Inumitsivasikushu Pater. If you leave something on a roof and then a hurricane comes and blows that thing off of the roof and damages someone, Remeir agrees you're putter. Clearly you're not always chayiv, you're not always liable for damages, even though you hurt someone. And yet you have to pay them back. Since it was a ruah she'ena mitzuya, Remeir says you're not liable. If Remeir says you're not liable for the wind, that the hurricane that blows your jug off of the roof and damages someone, Remeir also shouldn't hold you liable for the net, the suitcase you're holding, which when the handle breaks totally in a way that's out of your control and damages someone. So then the Gemara says no. So this is what Remeir must hold. So Amar by Batarti Peligi. No, they're arguing about two things. Remeir and Rabbi Yehuda argue about the following. So they're arguing about what happens at the time that you fall and drop the object, and they also argue about what happens after you've already fallen and the object is still there on the floor. What is the argument about what happens when you fall down? So here the Gemara says, this is the case. The case was not. When Rabbi Yehuda says, and this is what Rashi explains, Rabbi Yehuda says, you're chayav b'mischavein, that you're chayav only when you intended to drop it. He means literally you intended to drop it. Rabbi Yehuda will only hold you liable if you specifically took your barrel and threw it on the floor. But if you accidentally dropped it, you are not chayav. Why? Because one opinion, this is Remeir, says, nitka posheya, someone who slips is careless. And since you're careless, since you were negligent in slipping, we hold you liable for the damage that happens when you slip and fall and drop that barrel. That's the opinion of Meir. Umar Sarva Nikola Poshe. Rabbi says, no, Rabbi says we can't hold someone liable, or at least we can't say they're negligent for slipping, and therefore they're not chayiv. Okay, and then just Pligilachanafibaman Rezakov, a separate machlokas. Also, they argue about what happens when you leave the broken barrel or the broken jug in the middle of the street. Are you liable for someone who slips over that barrel afterward? It has to do with the question of what happens when you declare that the object that you owned is ownerless, you don't have anything to do with it anymore, and then someone slips over that object. So Marsover Makran is Agachayev, one says in that case you are liable. Marsover Potter. Okay, be that as it may, getting back to, I know it's a lot of Gemara to start off with, but it's important just to get the grounding here. Getting back to source number one, we'll leave Rashba's source number 3 out for now, where it says the Mimra. So we have a problem here, says the Gemara. We have our Gemara in Bava Kama, which ends up saying that in this case of Mazik, of someone who damages by dropping a barrel, Remeir says you are liable, because when you strip and you drop a barrel, you are being careless. And you're therefore liable for damages to the person as a result of dropping the barrel. However, in our Gemara in Bava Metzia, we just said, Remeir says, that both the Shomer Chinam and the Shomer Sachar, who are both porters, a porter who is paid and a porter who is not paid, if they drop the cargo, then they are not liable. Now that doesn't make sense. If you're willing to hold someone liable for dropping an object because they slipped for damages, the Gemara is also assuming, and I'd like to challenge this assumption as we go on, but the Gemara is assuming if we hold you liable for damages, we should also hold you liable in a case where you're hired as a worker for someone and drop an object because you slip. We should equate this law of shmira, of guarding an object, with damaging an object. So I want to throw out this question already. Is that necessarily so? Should we necessarily equate the laws of damages, meaning when I damage someone else through my act, either through carelessness by slipping or through another act, and a case where I'm hired to transport an object, and then I don't fulfill, let's say, my responsibility, and I slip and drop that object. Are those necessarily the same? The Gemara at this point is saying yes, therefore we have a problem with Rav Meir. So Gemara says, you're right. And that's our case above a comma, where the mayor says that you're liable when you drop the jug in the middle of the Rishus HaRabim. And the argument's about whether or not someone who stumbles is poshea, as we proved from above a comma. Fine. Yeah, you're right. It's a stira. It's a contradiction. We have two opinions of a mayor, and they contradict each other. One opinion of Rav Meir says you are careless for tripping. One opinion says the exact opposite. Not only you're not careless, you're also, it's not even Geneva Ba'aveda, it's an onus. It was totally out of your control. It's a steer within Rav Meir. Fine. That is the first opinion. Now we go back to the other two opinions. So in our Mishnah, Rav Meir says, Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar are both Pater Bishvua. Beautiful. However, we have a second and third opinion. What do they hold? Vatar Behuda Lamemar, if you look at that little dash, I have that for you. Yehuda says, Shomer Chinam Yishava, Shomer Chinam takes a Shua. No, say Sachar Yishalim. High Kidine, the High Kidine. Okay? So Yehuda says, the Shomer Chinam swears, and no, say Sachar pays each one like their law. Again, usually, and essentially what Yehuda is saying is that even if you'll tell me Nikal's not Poshea, you're not negligent for dropping a barrel when you stumble, but are you going to really tell me it's an Ones? You're going to tell me that it's like a case where someone, a hurricane comes and blows your barrel off of the roof? You're going to tell me it's like a case where, you know, an armed robber holds you up and says, give me that or I'll kill you? No, you slipped. So a Shomer Sachar is liable because they're getting paid and they have a higher degree of responsibility. A Shomer Chinam gets to take a Shvua and exempt himself from paying. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Vaser Elazar. So now we have that's opinion two. So opinion one was that both are pater with the Shua. Rabbi Yehuda splits between Shomer Sachar and Shomer Chinam. And now we get to Rabbi Elazar, and Elazar has a bunch of objections. Rabbi Elazar's kind of angry. You know, Elazar just doesn't get it. He says, "I'm frustrated. I agree with you, Rabbi Meir, but I don't understand." And he starts, gives three reasons why Rabbi Meir just doesn't understand what Rabbi Meir is saying, even though he thinks that is the tradition. So, point number one, if you look at that little circle I had there. Bishlama Shomer Chinam, Mishtab Lo Pashaba. I understand that Shomer Chinam swears they weren't Poshea. El Shomer Sachar Man Mishtaba, Kilo Pashana Mishlami Bai. Even if you're a paid watchman, even if you weren't negligent, you still pay. So what's the Shvua for? What are you going to swear? I wasn't negligent when I was carrying this object? Who cares if you were negligent? A Shomer Sachar pays even when they're not negligent. So that's number one. Reason number one, you're wrong, says Rabbi Eliezer. Fafiu Shomer Chinam Nam Yatinep Mako Madron. And if it's a Shomer Chinam also, I get it. If it's a Mako Madron, keep this in mind. This will be important in as we go on. If you were talking about, let's say, a slope, you're walking down a hill, it's slippery, the force of gravity is against you, and then you slip, fine. Then maybe I get you're not going to hold the person liable. But shaloba mako madro mizmatzi mishtabed lo pashai. If we're just walking in the middle, you know, on a perfectly good, the pavement is smooth, a newly paved out sidewalk, it's beautiful, and you slip over yourself, you're really going to take a shvua you weren't negligent? Of course you were negligent. That's the biggest negligence in the world. So how are you not going to pay? And furthermore, b'afilu b'mako madronami, even if it's a case, and this is a different topic here, but this is a third objection, even if it is a case where it was slanted, and even if you're going to argue that when you trip in downhill, it's not negligence, and if for some reason, whatever that is, a shomer sachar will still be pater. That I get if no one witnessed it, if there shouldn't have been someone who witnessed what happened. But if someone should have seen what happened, you should have to bring proof, and then only then will you be exempt. The Tanya and the Isi ben Yehuda Omer ein roeh. Shvus Hashem tiyeh ben shehem. I just lost the place for a second. Yeah. We have this rule that if you're in public and someone should have witnessed what happened to you, a shvua does not work. You can't take an oath and say, I did my best. No. If you should have to bring witnesses. If you don't, you're liable. So Rabbi Eliezer has three objections to Rabbi Meir, right? Number one, and the first two are important for us. Number one, why is a Shomer Sachar Pater? Number two, and even if a Shomer Sachar is Pater, or even if a Shomer Chilam is Pater, why are you not liable when you're just walking down a perfectly paved sidewalk and you slip? That is Rabbi Eliezer. Okay? Now, no. Does Rabbi Eliezer say he disagrees with Rabbi Meir or no? Is Rabbi Eliezer saying Rabbi Meir is wrong? I think it's a bit unclear. Rabbi Eliezer is raising an objection, right? But he might just be like, kind of, you know, it's almost like he's complaining. He's saying, I don't get this. But this is, I also, he says, Zev is a Yeshava. I have the Mesorah, I have a tradition, as the Mepharshim explained. What? Yeah, okay, I get it, but I don't understand. He's simply saying I don't understand. That's also important for the actual Psak Halacha. Now, if you look at the bold, and we're not going to go through this whole thing again, the Gemara has the whole discussion again, but the Gemara now presents a second option for Rav Meir, which is very important also for our discussion. Gemara says here, Rav Chiya bar Abba says, don't say that this is a stira. Don't say that the Rav Meir in Bava Kama says that Nikal is, you know, Shoposhea. It's your fault, you're negligent, you're careless. And then Rav Meir here in our Mishnah says, no, it's not only not your fault, but it's a completely uncontrollable circumstance such that even Shomer Sachar is a Patra. That's great. Don't say that. Don't resort to such a conclusion. Rather, I have another conclusion. It's a takan derabanan. Really? Rav Meir holds Nikal's Poshea. You're careless for slipping. Generally, you're careless for slipping when you carry an object. It's your fault. However, there's a takana to chachamim. The sages instituted that you take a shvua anyway. Shemiyata Omer Kane, and this is actually a very interesting topic, right? Where the sages essentially look at the letter of the law and say, but it's not good for society to uphold the letter of the law. They say, if you don't say this, we're not going to have any porters. Who's going to volunteer to carry a barrel from one place to another? If they know that if they drop the barrel, they're going to be held liable for that. So even though they're liable, but well, the Chum said, no, they're not liable. Take a shvua. So now the Gemara asks, Heichi Mishtaba. So what shvua do you take? Meaning, generally, a shvua shomrim is, I take a shvua that I wasn't negligent. That I didn't do something that, you know, was careless, that made this object susceptible to damage. But Rav Meir says that when you slip, you did that. You did make the object susceptible to damage. You were negligent for slipping. So how can you swear? What are you going to swear? That you weren't negligent, but you were negligent, and yet we're being exempting you anyway. So Gemara says no. So the Gemara, Amar Rava Shvua Shelo B'Kavanah Shvartia, you take a Shvua, I didn't break it on purpose. At least, you know, if you broke it on purpose, we'll hold you liable. So at least you didn't break it on purpose. That's the Shvua. And then the Gemara goes on to, again, recount the opinions of Yehuda and Rabbi Eliezer. Okay. So at this point, we have three opinions, which are really four. We have two versions of Rav Meir. Version number one, Rav Meir says, Nikal's not Poshea. Version number two, Rav Meir says, Nikal is Poshea, but there's a Takanas Chachamim. Then we have Rabbi Yehuda, Nikal is somewhere in the middle. And finally, Rabbi Eliezer, who we're going to have to talk about in a minute. Okay, so if you look at source number four, the Ritva breaks down this argument about Nikal for us and explains something pretty substantial. What he ends up saying is that this argument between the first and second language version of Rav Meir is very significant. Meaning, if you think Nikal is Poshea, okay, then you think that a porter is exempt in all cases of pshia. If Rav Meir thinks that even though slipping is considered careless, nevertheless, you are still exempt. So any case in which you were negligent, as long as you didn't break the object on purpose, Rav Meir is going to say you are exempt and you just take a shvua. However, that's the second version of Rav Meir. The first version of Rameir says that no, that specifically nitkal is not considered poshea. It's not careless to stumble and fall. But any case in which you didn't stumble and fall, and you were negligent in some other way, while you were carrying this object, then you will have to pay. So that's point number one in this Ritva. But then the Ritva tries to explain Reb Eliezer, and we'll take a look at the bottom of the page number one in your source sheet where he quotes Rashi. Rashi pirish kidla el der lazer savar kriv Yehuda diniskal kinev avedehu. So Rashi says that Reb Eliezer thinks, this is our third opinion, Reb Eliezer just doesn't understand what Meir is saying, he holds a Kriv Yehuda. The Reb Yehuda says that Nikal is Geneva Vaveda. Utmiya Milsa Kevan Dehash Disrili, Reb Meir Deshvua Zuta Kasachamhi, since Reb Meir holds that the Shvua is the Kasachamim, Ma Yesho Olden Mo Rabusa. Right? He doesn't understand. What's Reb Eliezer say? Reb Eliezer says, Reb Meir, I get you. Meaning, I have a tradition like you, but I don't understand. If Reb Meir is simply saying that Nikal is Poshea, that by stumbling you were negligent, but the Chachamim came and they made an institution that even though you were negligent, that you have to take you get to take a shvua and exempt yourself because we want people to carry objects for others, why is Reb Eliezer complaining? What's the point of that complaint? I mean, I understand maybe he doesn't have that takana, but why is he so agitated about it? Well, I mean, Reb Meir agrees you're Poshea, but he says the Chachamim made a takana. So why is that bothersome to Reb Eliezer? What's he complaining about? So the Ritva doesn't understand Rashi. Doesn't make any. If they had an argument in principle, then I understand. Reb Eliezer could say, I don't understand what you're saying. But if they're arguing, if they agree in principle, then why is Reb Eliezer complaining? So he says, my yeshlo oled moa the rabosa the garment of Gemara. Why is he arguing again? He says, I have a tradition like you, but I don't understand. If the tradition simply is that there's an institution that Chachamim made a takana that you're not your potter, what's he complaining about? Why is he arguing against his tradition? La yeshavet zimri rabosa lomar the less the takana bazu v'to baker dina ain's element amat mien. Why is he saying my rabbis my tradition's wrong if it's just a takana to rabbanon? So the Ritva says that it's, we'll do it outside, because I know this, I want to get a little bit to at least the Psak today. Ritva says that's not what's happening, okay? Reb Eliezer says, not just saying that, I disagree with this institution. And if you look at the chart in a second, I think it'll make it clear. Ritva says, Reb Eliezer is saying as follows. I agree that there's an institution to take a shvua for a porter. But that doesn't apply in a case of negligence. If you were actually negligent, if you were careless, then the Chachamim don't come and say, take a shvua, and you don't have to pay. No, that's not necessary. The Chachamim made a takana that someone who slips and stumbles isn't liable, even though they're a shomer sachar, but that's because nikal is not poshea. That's because someone who stumbles isn't considered negligent. I disagree with you on two things. Number one, I disagree with you, says Reb Eliezer, that nikal is poshea. I don't think you're careless when you slip and fall. I think you just could have been more careful, but you're not. It's not considered negligence. One. Two, I also think that when the Chachamim made an institution that someone carrying an object is exempt from paying, that doesn't apply to cases of negligence. It only, therefore, applies to someone who slips, which is not considered negligent. And that's Reb Eliezer saying. Therefore, according to the Ritva, if you were actually poshea, if you were actually negligent in handling the object, you didn't just slip, you're chayiv, whether or not you were a shomer chinam or a shomer sachar, because that's negligence. The only idea of the takana derabanan is that specifically someone who gets paid to transport this object, who usually would have been liable when they slip, the Chum said, no, that's not right, and they're not liable. So if you look at this little chart I made for you here on the second page of the source sheet, Someone say something? The Makomajon. Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, so thanks for that note. Ezer. So just to sort of summarize this, okay? This is for the Ritva, and we're going to go, and this is going to have implications practically, okay? So the Ritva says as follows. The first verse of Rameir says that Nitgal is Ones. Again, carelessness. And it's worth discussing, like, whether, why should someone who stumbles be either careless or not careless? Maybe we'll get to that in just a minute. Rameir says, number one, it's Ones. Since it's Ones, it's pretty straightforward. Since it's Ones, you're Potter. Beautiful. That's the first opinion. No need for a Takana Chachamim. You're just Potter when you slip. Good. Rameir number two, which is the sounds like it's the conclusion of our Gemara. It's a more satisfying conclusion rather than saying there's two opinions of Rameir that contradict each other. So Rameir says, no, Nikal is Poshea. The result of that is, if you look in column number two, the Takana Chachamim is when you are negligent while carrying an object for someone else, you get to take a shvua, and you're exempt. Therefore, a shomer chinam, even if they're negligent, gets to take a shvua that they weren't posheya. A shomer sachar also gets to take a shvua, even if they were negligent, that they were not posheya, and they're potter. That's remainder number two. Then you have Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that that nikkel is not posheya, but it's also not ones. It's ke'in geneva va'aveda. It's a middle category. No tachas achamim, no need for that. It's straightforward. It's regular dine shomim. Shomer sachar pays, shomer chinam doesn't pay. And then we get to the complicated part of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer has a strange combination. He says, on the one hand, that... sorry about that. He says, on the one hand, that shomer, it's not considered posheya, but there's also a tachas achamim, which results, and therefore, says the Ritva, let me get, and this is part of the important part, halachically, that's why Rabbi Eliezer distinguishes between makomajon and slob makomajon. Since Rabbi Eliezer says that when you're negligent, you are going to pay for dropping the barrel, and nikal is poshea, in a case where you're walking on straight, flat terrain, therefore, whenever you just slip walking on straight terrain, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're always going to be chayev. Whether you're a Shomer Chinam or a Shomer Sachar, right? So is Nikah Poshea? But as it says, depends. If it's a straight terrain, it is Poshea. If it is a slanty terrain, it's not Poshea. Just to point out something I found interesting, and maybe this is why I made this mistake, right? Just to defend myself from Ezra's attack over here. Rav Soloveitchik actually asked something kind of interesting. He says as follows. He says as follows. So should we hold you more liable when it's a slanted road or when it's a straight terrain? So on the one end, it's you could have, you know, slipping over your own feet, you know, just because you're clumsy when it's a perfectly good straight road is different than slipping when it's, you know, challenging to keep your balance. On the other hand, says Rav Soloveitchik, but in terms of like how careful you should have been, you could argue the opposite. He says, if you're walking down a hill, you have to be careful because you know you might slip and fall. So then, that is careless. If you slip, you should have been more careful. We can expect you to specifically anticipate that if you're not careful, you might slip. Whereas, if you're walking on a straight terrain, so, okay, it happens sometimes, but why should you have assumed that you were going to slip? It was a perfectly straight terrain. So maybe that's what I meant by, my makomajer, slow makomajer here. But either way, that's not, he leaves it with Tzarech Ian. It's an interesting point, though. Part of the question that we need to think about, and we will, is what do we assume or expect a person to anticipate? What types of things do I need to anticipate? Number one, when A, I am dealing with your object. B, when I'm dealing with my own object, but I'm dealing with something which may damage another person. What's our expectation for someone in that situation? That's part of the question here. So Rabbi Eliezer says that, so going back to the Rivas Rabbi Eliezer, just for, so if you're Nikal is Poshea if you're on straight terrain, not Poshea if you're on slant terrain. The Takana Chachamim is, if you were in Poshea, meaning you were on slanted terrain or on a slope, then you get to take a Shvua, and therefore, both the Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar, it depends on the terrain you were on. Now, this is all very relevant for actual Pesach Halacha, I think in two ways. So if you look at the Rif here, the Rif sort of makes a compromise. He says, we're stuck. We're stuck about how to Paskin. On the one hand, we Paskin generally which we'll have to revisit, that Nikgal is not considered Poshea. Okay? Nikgal is considered... what exactly we think it is a good question. We'll get to that. But it's at least not negligence. That, in a number of Gemaras which ask this question, we're not going to get to all of them, so I'll just mention a few. I think they're entertaining. Questions of, again, dropping this barrel, dropping a barrel on someone else. If you slip and someone trips over you, are you liable for that case? If you... if two people are running and they slip over each other, there's all sorts of interesting cases where we discuss this fundamental question of, is slipping considered carelessness or not? And the Rif says, we paskin, it's not negligence to slip. So that's on the one hand. On the other hand, but we also had this takana derabanan. And what do you do with the takana derabanan? It sounds like we hold this takana derabanan. So he says as follows. Take a look at the Rif. So Heichi Mishtaba Amarava Shvua Shlo B'Kavana Shvartia. Rava says the Shvua is I didn't break it on purpose. Umistaber Lo Dehad De Rava Liba De Remeir He. Rava is the following Remeir. This really Nika Poshea that stumbling is negligence. If it didn't do the Shalim and you should pay. Ela Tzakini Rabbanan De Mishtava Shlo Shav B'Kavana Umifter De Lomatz De Shvui De Lopashava. However, since Remeir holds that you should have to pay, but and you were negligent, but the Chacham made this institution, they're stuck. You can't swear you weren't negligent because you were negligent. So they made a new Shvua, which doesn't exist elsewhere. I didn't break it on purpose. Aval, the Rabbanon, according to the other Chachamim who hold the Sarvin Nikolaposhe, Heche Mispainle, Shalobibshi Nispera. Heche Mispainle. Sorry, not Heche. Heche Mispainle, Shalobibshi Nispera. Bein Shomer Sachar, Bein Shomer Chinon. Rip says, we don't pause like Remeir. The shvua you're taking is not even break it on purpose because we think that you don't need that shvua. We'll go with the shvua satora. The shvua satora is, you swear you weren't negligent. Stumbling isn't negligent, and that's the shvua you take. If you stumble and you drop the object, then you're putter because you take the shvua I wasn't negligent. The kamon kibatayu. That's number one. The lesler Rabbi Yehuda, the omr shomer sachar mishalim. We also don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda. We don't hold like Remeir. We also don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda because Rabbi Yehuda says the Shomer Sachar pays. But we have with the Kanas Chachamim that Shomer Sachar doesn't pay. The Kaimelon Stamas Nisin Umachlokas the Brisa Halacha Kestamas Nisin. Va'ot Kanas Chachamimu Shemiata Omer Kein Lachadam Shemaver Chaves. Number one, we have a Mishnah which simply says like Remeir. We usually follow like Remeir, at least in terms of the Kanas Chachamim. Number two, it's a Takana. It's a good Takana. You know, it's a good point. How are we going to get porters? You know, Chas v'Shalom, you should have to take your own baggage from your car to your hotel room. It's not right. So we need a Takana Chachamim. So we can't hold like Rav Yehuda. So the Rif says we don't pass like anybody. We pass in like a combination of Shitos. We pass in that number one, there's a Takana. We pass in Nikos La Poshea. And therefore, that will be the case. If you were negligent, you're Chayiv. If you were not negligent, you simply stumbled, you take a shvua, shalom, pashaba, which doesn't, according to the Rif's understanding, fulfill any opinion, really. It's just its own opinion. In that vein, if you look at sources 6, 7, and 8, and I'll say them outside, it's not too much beyond the details, the question comes up halachically, what do we actually say if someone slips on straight terrain? Do we make a distinction between a sloped terrain and straight terrain or not in this way? The Meiri and the Ramban both say that we don't. Halachically, it doesn't matter where you slip. You know, for the clumsy people out there, slipping is not negligence. Doesn't matter where you are. It's not carelessness. It's not onus either, but it's not carelessness. You're always going to be putter with a shvua when you slip. That's what the Ramban, based Bechiris, and the Meiri say. That makes sense based on, I think, simple explanation of our Gemara, right? Because the simple explanation of our Gemara is that we have three opinions. We can't pass like one and two according to the Rif. Third opinion isn't really a separate opinion. It's just sort of Rabbi Eliezer making objections. Fine. However, the Ritva, Lishita also disagrees. The Ritva says no. We passed in like Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer is not simply making an objection, according to Ritva. He's saying, as a matter of principle, I hold the Kasa Chamim. I also hold that Nikal's not Poshea. We can fathom that. We can accept Rabbi Eliezer. That works halachically, halach lamase. And according to the Ritva, Rabbi Eliezer says that you are chayav if it was a straight terrain. So according to, we have an argument in the Rishonim, do we posken like nobody, essentially? Do we take sort of a mixture of all the opinions of the Gemara and come out with our resolution? Or do we actually take Rebbe Eliezer as halacha lamase, which determines whether or not you're liable if you trip when it's a non-sloped or slanted terrain? And that's an argument in the Rishonim. So just to, before we get to the Torah, I'm going to point out a steer in the Torah, and then I'll try to give a solution, and I think that will transition to our next part of the topic. Just to point out another interesting argument, I meant to put this on. So one question is, do we hold you liable? And again, this is Shuras Hadin, not Lifnim is Shuras Hadin. What about payments? What do we, Paschal, halachically, Shuras Hadin, in a case where you slip, drop the barrel, and take a shvua that you weren't poshea? Do you also have to pay the guy? Or the Chacham are simply saying, don't make them pay, okay? But you have to, but you don't have to pay them. This is actually an interesting argument in the Acharonim. The Sma Anshul Ha'ara says that not only do they not pay you, you have to pay them. You have to pay them. That's the Takana Derabanan. And the Aruch HaShulchan and the Shach object. Now, it's interesting, just to sort of explain what the objection would be. When the Chachamim said that someone carrying an object, although for pay, although they weren't, it wasn't an onus, they're nevertheless exempt because they take a shvua, were they saying that we consider now, halachically, rabbinically at least, we consider slipping careless, rather, an extenuating circumstance? We say that takana derabanan is that it's an onus, that it wasn't your fault, and that's how we consider it? Or do we simply say, it was your fault, but we're not going to make you pay anyway, and that's the shvua? Or, a third option is, and this is something Aruch HaShulchan says, we consider a shomer sachar like a shomer chinam, and that's the takana. The takana is we give the shomer sachar an additional, we take away the additional liability of the shomer sachar, and we say, in terms of slipping, you're just like a shomer chinam. So, if you think that slipping, what we're saying is, slipping is considered an extenuating circumstance, is ones, so then, we generally say, in a case of ones, you get paid. That's ones rachmana patre. Right? In a case of ones, it's not your fault, you get paid for the job. If we say that it's not ones, and yet we're still not going to make you pay, that doesn't necessarily lead to the conclusion that you have to pay them. It's just you're just not liable. And finally, the Aruch HaShulchan himself says, what the institution was that you made him like a shomer chinam, a non-paid watchman. If the institution is that you are like a non-paid watchman, it makes no sense to pay the person. Because the whole point is you're like a non-paid watchman. Paying you will make you subject to that additional liability. And he adds, and then I think this is also an important point, if the purpose of this takana is to stop people, or to encourage people to help others, what about the flip side? If the flip side is that not only will I not have to pay for dropping the barrel, but I'll also get paid when I drop the barrel, what's to stop somebody, what's to make someone careful? And why would anyone hire someone then to be a porter if they're afraid that not only will they not get paid for their damages, they have to pay the person? It accomplishes too much. So that's another interesting machlokus here. So how does the Torah paskin? Sorry, yes, Jeffrey. Because he, according to Eliezer, sloped territory is not considered negligence. Non-sloped territory is considered negligence. And the takana only works when you weren't negligent.
Okay, so that's practical application of that would be that this maybe goes with reference who basically says if you stumble you're never negligent, right?
Yeah.
So then,
Yeah, so totally fair. You know, I think everyone. So that's an interesting question. I definitely agree with that extension of slope versus non-slope. I guess the question I would ask is, if you did something beyond just slipping to make yourself slip, maybe everybody can agree that's negligence. The Nasebos, for instance, mentions that if you're carrying something too heavy, that's also negligence. But I 100% agree with that. I would think that slipping should be negligence for someone who's hired. And that's the point I want to get to next. To me, I would distinguish, or I think distinguish, between someone who's hired to transport an object and slips, and someone who was not hired to transport an object, but is simply holding their own object, minding their own business, and then slips. Right, that's what I would think. And I'm going to argue that that's what the Torah thinks, and that's where we're going to go with this. But then my question is going to be, but although intuitively it makes sense, the question is going to be how this reckons with the general concept of damages in halacha, which will lead us to next week's discussion. So if you look at source number 9, we have the Torah. Okay? The Torah takes a distinction between Derech Yishara and non-Derech Yishara. Says the Torah, Hamaver chavetz mimakom lemakom v'nika baderech yishara v'nishbar chavetz havi pshia v'chayev. Somebody transporting a barrel from point A to point B, they slip on a straight path and the barrel breaks. That's negligence, and they're liable. Afilim shomer chinam, even if he's a shomer chinam. Okay, but we'll stop there for now. The Torah says regarding a porter that if you slip on a straight path, you are chayev. Now, as I mentioned, there are many applications to this rule of nitka posheya. And the Torah paskins all those applications. And he never otherwise mentions this distinction between a straight terrain and a sloped terrain. If you look at number 10, this is the case where someone is carrying a jug in the public domain, if you place a jug in the middle of the street and someone slips on that jug, the halacha is they're not liable for slipping on the jug. People don't generally look where they're going. This is what the Gemara says. People generally don't look at the ground. They look ahead. You know, to expect someone to look where they're going, that's too much to expect. So, and this is actually, the Rishonim say, the rationale behind Niska Lafosheya. The reason we think you're not careless is because people don't generally look at the ground before they walk. They're too busy in thoughts. They're thinking about something, you know, and therefore they're liable. Beautiful. So the Torah says you're not liable when you trip over, you knock someone's object they left in the middle of the street. Doesn't mention anything about whether or not you tripped on a slanted terrain or a non-slanted terrain. Now that's a bit different because you're slipping over an object. If you look at source number 11, two other examples where the Torah, and the bottom of source 10. Another case, if you are carrying a jug and you slip and the jug damages someone, says the Torah, you are exempt. Because behold, slipping is not carelessness. But what about if it was straight terrain? No mention of the straight terrain for the Torah. Source 11, another case, two people holding pots are walking toward each other. One falls down. The second one trips over the first person. We say you're definitely not liable when they trip over you. Why? Because stumbling isn't considered carelessness. And the question is, didn't the Torah tell us very clearly that it is considered carelessness when you slip on a straight terrain? Now, just to mention two other answers before I close my answer, which will lead us essentially to the next discussion. Rechaim has an answer. I'm not going to get into it now. If you want to look in Hilchos Tiras, Parakim, and the Rambam, Parakim Alacha Beis, Rabbi Chaim Alevi has an answer to this question in the Torah. I didn't quite understand it, and it involves another sigil we'll get to later. The Aruch HaShulchan says that it's really everybody agrees to the Torah. Everybody agrees that if you slip on a straight terrain, of course you're liable. The Torah said it one time. He thought it was so obvious elsewhere, he didn't mention it, and he says that everybody agrees to this. All the Rishonim also agree, because it's obvious that if you slip on a straight terrain, of course you're going to be chayiv. Now, I find that not very compelling, because we have explicit Rishonim who seem to say that, no, you are chayiv, you are potter, even if it's straight terrain. I think the answer that you could give is to distinguish between a worker and someone who is damaging someone with their property. Meaning, a worker's responsibility is to guard the object. And within that responsibility to guard the object, you could argue that they should have to anticipate not the road in front of them and take care not to slip. So it is within their responsibility to look ahead of them, especially on a non straight terrain. They should have looked in front of them. But if I am not working for you, I simply am a person and I'm holding an object. So what is my responsibility? Well, my responsibility should be to take care not to damage another person. So you could argue that in a straight terrain, I didn't have to guard myself in that way that I should have anticipated that I would have slipped on the straight terrain, right? As if your expectation, your duty of care, as Jeffrey said, should be higher. If your job is to look after the object, then it should be for just a person who has a general responsibility to prevent damage to others. So that's what I think makes sense in this Torah. The Torah is saying, if you're a worker, then if you slip on straight terrain, then you're higher. But if you're just a person, we don't hold you liable for tripping because the standard's actually higher. The problem is source number 13. And that's what we'll get to next time. The problem is that we generally say, Adam Muad La'olam, that a person is always liable for damages they cause to others. And that's a problem for the Torah, but it's also a problem in general. We generally say that you are liable whether you are negligent or not negligent, or it's an ones. Why then is this whole sugya we talked about for the last hour trying to figure out whether stumbling is carelessness or not carelessness, or it's just somewhere in the middle? It shouldn't make a difference because a person's always supposed to be liable. And then you have to figure out how that works with where we said before, ones rachmana patre. So I guess next week we'll pick up from this and we'll explore this general question of whether or not damages, is someone liable for accidental damage? Does it matter how extenuating a circumstance it is? Does it matter how direct the cause is? What if you're drunk? What if you're sleeping? All those cases in Ritz next week. Thank you very much for your time. I'm sorry a little bit over. Everybody have a wonderful Shabbos.